2020.
Well, there you have it, folks. Welcome to the PMQ Live Update. Dave Summers of the US Pizza Team and Mad Mushroom Pizza updating us on what day it is and the date. So welcome to your live update for May 11th, Monday. See, I already forgot. It's all blending in. But this is kind of one of the conversations we're going to have is things are opening back up. We're going to have to start going back into our offices if we haven't already. So I did want to talk with Dave Summers. As I mentioned, he is a member of the U.S. Pizza Team, a veteran of the U.S. Pizza Team, owner of Mad Mushroom in Indiana and Kentucky, partner owner. And just wanted to let him introduce himself and kind of give us a rundown about his role on the team and just Mad Mushroom in general. So why don't you got 3 minutes, Dave. Tell everybody what they want to know.
Wow, 3 whole minutes. That's a lot of time to try to describe this. As Brian was nice enough to mention, yes, my name is Dave Summers. I'm with Mad Mushroom. Our 5 locations are located throughout Indiana and Kentucky. Been a member of the United States Pizza Team for about 8 years now. I started off in the athletic side and moved over to culinary. I've worked up my way up to being helping Brian and the other guys as on the athletic side, kind of with the been titled as athletic director. So with Mad Mushroom, I guess we're popping up there and showing our logo, our tagline of "Feed Your Head." That is what we put on at every single advertisement we put out there, so that people get that into their head when they realize, you know, it's coming from us that way, since all sorts of marketing can get mixed around.
I've been a member on the team for about 8 years, just a little bit longer than me. So you were actually one of the first person I met when I walked onto that floor in Orlando to interview for this job. And turns out, oddly enough, I went to high school with your wife and lived just down the block from your shop and ate there quite often. So the pizza world is very small. So I know I've worked at pizzerias on campus, and I wanted to ask you today, we do have other pizzerias out there who have kind of a campus business model. It's one of those things where it's very specific. You have a very finite amount of time to make your money for the season, and then people go away for spring break, for Christmas, and then for summer. How did this affect you with, because I think, why don't you explain what the timeline was as far as like the school closing or, you know, classes online?
Sure. So we have 5 locations. 3 of them are primarily around universities. The main location that I'm sitting in the office of now is at Purdue University. We're also at the University of Kentucky and at Eastern Kentucky University. As this pandemic kind of came across and hit the different campuses, each one had a different response. Basically, it worked out that it hit where everybody made their decisions about mid-March, where the students were leaving for spring break anyways. So each university kind of made it work the best for themselves, and they all told their students not to return after spring break, and all of the classes would then go online. So we lost, depending on the university, anywhere from 10,000 customers to 35,000 customers that we were expecting to return after spring break, and they won't be back until hopefully this fall.
Well, and I mean, that was, like you said, done in the middle of kind of spring break. So you had a little bit of time. You had already planned for these guys being gone, but you had a little bit of time to maybe prepare for what you were going to do after when they weren't coming back. I mean, were there any specific plans that you kind of put into action after that?
There you go. we planned basically for we had to reduce our staff and everything else, kind of talking about it with among the partners that we were really just going to enter an early summer is what it seemed like. So we started going through and trying to figure out what staff we could keep and how well we could keep them occupied and doing things on what we knew would be a much limited amount of sales to begin with. So, and then that was well before any government entities came out with any of their assistance that packages that they would be getting to us in April or later, whenever they would. So originally we worked with all of our general managers at each location to discuss which of their staff was going to return after spring break, because being on a college campus, a lot of our employees are already college students. So we had to work with who was going to be around on campus to even be employed, and then what we would be able to do with them as far as would they be able to continue to do their normal positions, or would we have to find alternative places within the restaurant for them to work?
Okay. I mean, that's a great pivot right there. But I did want to, again, encourage anybody watching. We got some viewers here. Ask your questions in the Facebook comments, and I'll put them up on screen, and Dave will answer them in real time. But I did want to just kind of move forward a little bit. I mean, it sounds like you were just trying to reallocate some staff to figure out, cut some fat if you could, but try to keep as much as possible. So Indiana is opening back up. I'm not sure about Kentucky. I don't know what their timeline is, but I know you said Indiana's opening back up. And what are some of the rules for restaurants opening back up in Indiana? Capacity, safety measures and stuff like that.
So effective today, Indiana enters kind of phase two, which allows restaurants to open their dining rooms to 50% capacity as long as they maintain their social distancing. We as a company decided against opening our dining room. We planned some projects going on, repainting, reorganizing and stuff with the dining room, and spoke with our employees about how they felt about having customers returning into the location, and did not get the best of feedback. So we decided to be on the side of caution as much as we could. We had moved to a cashless, no contact system before March ended. So we had gone to curbside pickup only, no contact delivery, and stopped taking any cash, or everything was coming over through credit cards. So we really didn't have to touch the customers anymore. Our employee feedback was that they were very comfortable with that, and our sales hadn't been hurt too much from going to that. So we decided in our Indiana location that was allowed to reopen the dining room to extend it until at least June 1st to see what would happen with the other dining rooms that were open and how things were going there. As far as what the implications were with that, at both states, both Kentucky and Indiana, are requiring face masks to be worn in the locations at all times. Kentucky's gone so far as to where you have to wear a face mask whenever you leave your house. So with Indiana also being anybody inside has to do face mask, we had buffs made for all of our employees and color-coded them depending on the day of the week that they were to wear them. So we supplied them with four different buffs of different colors, and then put a schedule up of when they were to wear them to allow them time to clean them in between their shifts. We've also, since the very beginning, followed other similar models of being even more stringent with our sanitizing and cleaning schedules. So we kept logs on when the doors get wiped down, when the phones get wiped down, when all the common areas are cleaned. So those have also been increased slightly in Indiana. Our local health department is now requiring us to keep employee logs of when the employee shows up to work. We have to check them for fever, check them for any symptoms, fill out a sheet saying that they don't show any signs that their temperature is below 100 degrees and that they are cleared to work for the day.
I really like, I love the idea of that color coding, because there is no, it's like getting underwear that says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday almost.
Well, that was some of the original plan, was to get them labeled by the day of the week. But when we looked at how many employees we had and the expense that it would cost, we decided to only go with four buffs instead of seven.
This was kind of one of my next questions. I mean, what adjustments are you making, kind of beyond government mandates? Is this one of them? I mean, what are you doing that's above and beyond for your customer right now to give them that sense of safety?
So as far as the government's concerned, we could have unlocked our doors, put our table 6 feet apart, and allowed people in to eat without any facial coverings, without, for the customer, to do anything. The government is mandating that the employees have to wear facial coverings, that all items are single-use items. No menus. Any menus that go out to customers have to be a paper or single use. Throw them away after they've been at the table. All of the, as far as I can tell, they're asking for all of the plates, dishes, silverware, that sort of thing, to all be single use also. So it really, to us, wasn't going to be advantageous for the little bit of dining we were going to get, because as we mentioned earlier, at the location here on Purdue University's campus, we've lost so many of our customers for the summer anyways, and the university faculty still has not returned to work. So it wasn't prudent for us to go ahead and open our dining room and try to figure out how to seat everybody and do that with keeping everything safe when we were still in project stage of the other things we were trying to complete during our partial shutdown.
Has it, or the faculty still hasn't even come back, and there's not much left even in school, the regular school year anyway, right? So, I mean,
Well, for the university, this would actually, today would have started what they consider May semester. It's their first 4 week section of their summer school. So graduation weekend is typically Mother's Day weekend. So we would have had graduation weekend the past weekend, and then they would have gone into summer school starting now. All of that until at least August at the university is now online learning.
okay, well, I mean, this kind of again leads into the next question, is about are you concerned about getting your old customers back now that you guys have reopened? Did you see resurgence of like the loyal customers or people? Is the market, I mean, are they going back like it's normal? Are there changes in their buying habits? What are you seeing there? And this is specific, you know, obviously specific to a campus area as well, because you lose half your population, you know, for half a
Yeah,
year.
so we've seen an increased volume, not volume, an increased ticket average across the entire company. And I don't know if that means that we're just getting more meals for families and less individuals eating alone, because pizza is such a quick option and there's smaller sandwiches. I think that goes to part of it where people would come and eat by themselves or with a buddy. And now it's more, okay, we're planning a meal for our entire family. So I think that's part of our ticket average going up. As far as how we're marketing to keep our loyal customers and stuff, we're continuing to email all of our customers on a weekly basis with every update that we do. We have run a program currently that's coming to a week, coming to end this week, where we're calling it Local Pizza for Local Heroes, where we are asking the customers if they would like to donate a small pizza to the nurses and grocery store workers and others that are on the front line, and then we will match that. And there's it been a good response from our community there for that. So we've been very happy with that. Beyond that, you know, we're staying on the social media consistently. It's given us actually an opportunity to expand our TikTok brand a little bit, because in our downtime we have had our managers and team members do a little bit of pizza spinning with Rodo and get that
Seen
out
that?
there, have some fun with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to, you know, investigate all avenues of social media at this point, because everybody just being stuck at home, they're watching things that they hadn't watched before. Our good friend Jason Smotsky, he's in love with TikTok, sends me about 20 a day. I downloaded it. I don't think it's anything I could do, but I mean, you gotta, I mean, that's what I was gonna ask, is like, how are you trying to make actually get new customers? Is it by expanding some of these avenues of social media that you hadn't really had time to play with before, or didn't really, you know, care or give time to make to?
That is some of it. We have not slowed down in any of our other marketing. We are continuing direct mail every week as we have in the past. And, you know, as again with the social media, actually, we may be posting a little bit more frequently. Just because, as you mentioned, everybody is kind of, you know, spending much more time in front of screens anymore than they were previously. At least more recreational time is spent in front of the screen. So whatever we can do to make sure that we're still top of mind, we're trying to do that. We did have banners printed to put outside all of our locations so that people would know that we were still open for curbside pickup and no contact delivery, which we did get in trouble one with the municipality there because we didn't attach it directly to our building and had it out on what they considered their property. But, you know, it was one of those kind of do it and ask for forgiveness instead of permission type of things. And they were nice and understood that during this time, you know, we needed to do something to let people know we were open, and gave us a little bit of extra time to get it down and didn't just come out and cut it down like they might have in the past.
So that's, I mean, obviously you have to, I didn't know if, like, it's, I was going to ask if they had, like, regulations for as far as, like, putting signage out there to let people know. But, I mean, is this municipality of, like, the just West Lafayette where Purdue is located, or the school itself? Or
This was in West Lafayette, where they had put a barrier, kind of a fence between the road and our store and a construction that they did a couple years ago. And we used their fence to tie our banner to, and they let it sit for a couple of weeks. And last Monday, when the city offices kind of reopened in the first part of phase two, I received a text from the city planner letting me know that that sign needed to be moved at the earliest convenience and off of their fence and onto our building. So we then had to work with the landlord to get our anchors put up into their brick to allow that to happen. So
right.
It's been a little bit of juggling and contacting people who aren't always around where they're, you know, in their office like we're used to get things done.
Makes more sense that it was attached to their fence, their barrier. So I did want to show this too. I mean, I wanted to ask you about the social media. You're saying you're still out there. I mean, you did this for Mother's Day the other day. Are you trying to keep more normal messages in there, or more, I don't want to say, just kind of informative about what you're doing? But have you gone back to kind of going back to the old posts, trying to maybe not mention the situation as much, and, you know, keep it just less negative, or, you know what I mean? Does it make sense?
Yeah, I think I get what you're going for. And to answer it the way I hear your question, we are pushing to, I don't want to say avoid mentioning COVID or coronavirus or any of that, but we don't need to remind anybody why we're doing anything anymore. In the beginning of this, back in March, we had to explain ourselves. I think now that we're getting into mid-May, everybody understands what's going on and why things are happening. So it's not necessary to say, hey, because of COVID-19, we have these things going on. It's more of, have you tried this item from us? You know, done this thing. Like, as you showed, the pizza kit was something we brought around during this, which was brought up in our US Pizza Team chat. Some of the other guys were doing that, so we brought it into our business and said, okay, let's, you know, figure out a way to do this and get that out there. And our marketing team is, and instead of just putting it out there, has figured out a way to market it towards the parents who are tired of cooking every day, because that's what's, you know, started this months ago. Everyone was like, oh, we're gonna go to the grocery store and we're gonna buy all these things and going to be home chefs. And I think now that we've gotten several months into this, people are wearing out on the recipes and getting tired of eating the same chicken that they know how to make three times a week.
Yeah, the shine is kind of worn off a little bit, but yeah, no, I mean, well, that's good. I mean, I like how you say, I always, even since the onset of just starting these, I really try to never call it by its name, gives it power. I always try to say the situation. And I will get that cease and desist from the Jersey Shore eventually. But I did want to ask you real quick, you know, as far as like getting new customers and enticing your old customers to return, you did offer a couple deals, you said. But, I mean, are you a proponent of deep discounts? Or, I mean, because then once you start, they're not paying full price, you can never ask them to pay full price again. And, I mean, what's your kind of philosophy on that as far as, like, enticing new people to come in and getting the old people to return as well?
We run specials that we run all the time. We have our daily specials Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday that we adjust annually or semi-annually or every couple of years. And we go through them, and, you know, those are their set, and they last, you know, for the time period, and then we reset them when we look at the market and how prices change, as far as cheese or meat or anything else, you know, how it goes against our food cost. We run other specials, combo meals that we evaluate on the same time frame, typically annually, if not every 18 months on some of them. See which coupons are selling well. I shouldn't call them coupons, which which specials are selling well and which ones aren't, and maneuver through them that way. We had planned from the get, you know, before we even knew what the word coronavirus was, to be doing a menu update for July 1st. So we haven't changed anything with that. We're just, you know, diving a little deeper into the numbers this time and making sure that we take into effect that while cheese is kind of at an all-time low right now, when we figure out the food cost, we know that meat and cardboard and cheese will eventually go back up, and we need to make sure that we adjust our prices properly for that. So to answer your real question about doing deep discounts and doing that sort of thing, we are not in favor of that. Because in the past, where we had tried that years ago, we get that coupon customer that comes in and buys the product once, and then we don't see them again until we put another coupon in their hand. And it just, to us, it's not worthwhile to gain a customer at a discount.
That makes sense. I mean, once you start discounting the price, it's very hard to get them to pay full price again. So you don't want to get them in there that way. So I do want to ask, and a Dungeon Chat Expert says that you got some great content here, and I completely agree on that. I did want to ask real quick before I go to the next topic. You said you kind of polled your employees about whether or not they would feel safe about letting people into the dining room. Do you think that's something? Because there are some states that haven't quite opened up to where you're at yet. Is that something that you would suggest restaurant owners do? Poll the employees first to see whether or not they're safe.
As a restaurant owner, you have to, you know, have a pulse of how your staff is feeling and know what's going on with them. To be honest, when I originally, you know, heard we were going to be able to open up this Monday, I tried to figure out how to streamline some of the projects I had going on, and was, you know, thought that all of my employees would be excited to see the customers that they knew coming back through and that sort of stuff. And I came into the store and, you know, started talking and just listening to when the employees, even when they didn't know I was listening, and kind of heard mumblings from people like, are we really going to open up on Monday? And, you know, and could hear the fear in their voice and realize that they weren't ready to, and I wasn't, you know, 100% saying that we had to. So it was an easy decision to side with them to make sure. So, I mean, it wasn't like I went up to each employee and said, hey, are you comfortable doing this? It's just being right in the store and, you know, feeling them out and just kind of, I always say that I have kitchen ears. You know, I can hear things that are going on everywhere, even though people don't always understand that they're being listened to.
I got it 100%. I might not look like I'm paying attention, but I'm hearing something from across. Yeah, that's how you do it. But I mean, it's so since you haven't opened up your dining room, a lot of people can. I mean, what are you doing to kind of offset that? I mean, everybody was excited to do 25, even 50% capacity. But I've been hearing a lot, actually, in the US pizza team, a lot of people aren't opening their dining rooms out of not fear of safety, but just to make sure everything is still safe before we go full in. I mean, what are some suggestions that you're doing right now to offset maybe that loss of revenue that you thought everybody thought was going to come back right away?
Well, and that's part of where at this location where our dining room does wonderful during the school year when we have all the students here and we have all the staff on campus. With that loss of our large customer base, we weren't going to see a big lineup of customers coming in to have lunch with us. It helped to make the decision easier knowing that we weren't going to have a large loss in sales. Any loss in sales that we are having, we are, you know, doing our best to explain to them, hey, I'm sorry, we don't have seating inside. There are tables outside that you're more than welcome to use. But it just, that the little bit of loss of sales we may get, to know that my employees have a peace of mind, I think is the most important part.
Well, and just like you said, this was kind of a wash because, you're already going to be losing part of that dine-in anyway. I know you got another one there in Lafayette and, you know, the others in Kentucky. I mean, has it affected them? Are you guys not opening your dining rooms across the board? Or do the other ones have dining rooms?
Our three locations in Kentucky, two of them have dining rooms, but Kentucky has not announced when they're going to allow dining rooms to reopen. So they are strictly sticking with the curbside and the delivery at this point. There wasn't an option yet to open there. And their governor has not come out and said when they plan on doing any of that. As far as our other Indiana location, they are a takeout and delivery only without a dining room. So it wasn't too difficult to maintain our curbside pickup there and only allow our employees to be the ones in the store.
Okay, so I mean, you're kind of in that, I don't want to say lucky enough situation, but you're already kind of set up for it. It's working out currently. But I did want to ask you, I mean, I guess it might you might not have many answers on this, about the differences between opening up in two different states. So you're saying that Kentucky, you know, you guys, there's is there a date that they have in mind yet? Or, I mean, are there going to be different mandates from governments, state governments? I mean, how are you guys managing that, having, you know, two different state locations in two different states?
We get to try to listen to two different governors, and when they do their press conferences, or at least follow the news and find out what the synopsis of their press conference is every day or every other day, and figure out when they're going to say something. So in Kentucky, we found out on May 1st that we were moving on to stage two on May 4th, and then part two of stage two today on May 11th. So Kentucky had announced back in April that they would be going to the face coverings effective May 11th, and then they didn't give any more information, as opposed to the Indiana governor, who laid out each stage and what day he would like to see that stage occur. And, you know, of course, he put on there that it would all be subject to how, you know, things worked out with the health going forward. So while we're in stage two and part two of stage two, stage three is set for mid-June only if the cases stay down. But Indiana's goal is to be 100% open by July 4th. So we'll be interested to see if that comes to fruition or not.
Well, and you had said that, you know, it's mandated for restaurant operators and staff to wear masks and gloves, but not for the customers. Is that something you would maybe – I mean, you don't want to turn business away, but
I mean, now, one of the projects I kind of highlighted was that I hadn't gotten to yet is before we allow customers in, we will be putting up plexiglass shielding between the employees and the customers. So while we may not tell them they need to wear face coverings while in the store, because that makes it a bit difficult to eat and drink, we will have separation. We will not allow any of the fountain drink or anything to be used. They won't be able to cross-contaminate anything in case they are. It'll be pretty much serving everything as to go, but allowing them to sit down and eat here if they choose to.
Yeah. Well, I was just, you know, I was just wondering, you know, what other safety precautions restaurateurs might try to impose on their customers. You know, and it's, of course, a logical thing. You can't eat or drink with a mask on. My dentist told me I had to show up with a mask on. I'm like, well, how are you going to drill my tooth if I got a mask? So, all right, man. Well, Dave, I do appreciate it. Again, I want to ask anybody who has any questions for Dave about his particular expertise on having a campus location and locations in two states to ask your questions on the Facebook comments. We'll get them up and Dave will answer them. But past that, I want to just kind of reach into something that's a little, we got a little bit of time here. We're going pretty good. The loss of the World Pizza Games and the World Pizza Championships in Parma, Italy. That was a big thing for a lot of our team members, obviously, because we all love going to compete. We were supposed to be taking some of our sponsor winners to Italy to compete over there for the USA, but all that stuff has gone away. Do you guys get a lot of marketing from promoting that you're going to compete and or when you come back and win awards? I mean, how big a hit do you think because this is affecting all like trade shows and competitions and all that stuff. So, I mean,
I'm sorry, go ahead. So we do our best to try to market it with where we can. And after being involved in competition for over 10 years, we don't get the same response from our local newscast as we did in the very beginning.
Really?
Well, as often as we compete anymore, and as lucky as we've been to be able to be successful at it, they're, you know, kind of used to, you know, coming home with something, you know, annually. So a big part of what I'm at least going to miss from the Expo being canceled and Parma being canceled and any of the other competitions that we typically go to is the camaraderie and learning from everybody else, all the other guys that are on the team or, you know, that come to these, that come to those events, and just the sitting around and talking and discussing that we do there, you know, how their business is going, what they're doing differently, where, you know, we can do that some in our group chats and get on Facebook here with you and talk about some things. But, you know, it's not always the 10 to 15 guys sitting around that really get the conversation going. And, you know, everyone's actually away from the restaurant for a little bit and able to concentrate on a discussion instead of trying to, you know, shoehorn into a time where everybody can get together and on a Zoom call. And, you know, when you've got people in four different time zones, that's not always easy to try to get everybody together and be able to discuss things, because once one guy finally gets off shift, the other guy's trying to get to bed.
True. I mean, that is the biggest thing. It's like you said, just the camaraderie. It's, it is that sharing of ideas. And from everybody I've been talking with, that's what they're missing, is that these are things where you go and you have fun with your pizza friends, like-minded individuals, and you might teach them something, but you're also learning something, even if you're just competing or walking the show floor. So, but I hadn't heard that before. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, still advertise or promote when they go to compete and they get good response. I hadn't thought about the news companies, local news companies saying, again, okay. I mean, what do you try to do at that point to add some flair to it?
Well, we still promoted the heck out of ourselves on our social media channels. We get lots of people who really enjoy that, and our followers there that, you know, enjoy seeing our team that competes, you know, spin and dough and fastest and largest. And we put our videos up, and, you know, through our own social media, we get a lot of love from that. But getting our local television or our newspapers to kind of cover it and get to people who aren't already familiar with us anymore, it's kind of a hit and miss type of thing. It depends on what else is going on in the community at that time.
Definitely true. It's it is a hidden pizza sport. That's why I try to wear my jacket as much as possible. I have to explain it 5 times today, but it's something I enjoy explaining. So I did want to just ask you here real quick, you know, what's kind of some of your last best advice? You there?
Last best advice about what?
So I wanted to ask Dave about some last best advice. This was Dave Summers of Mad Mushroom in West Lafayette, Indiana, and all across Kentucky. He's been talking to us about the campus business models, and I think I lost him a little bit there. So I do appreciate everybody tuning in. Maybe there's some questions you could put up there, and I'll make sure Dave gets them. I can't tell if anybody's even watching. Maybe somebody raise your hand in the comments. But I'm just, as you can tell, I'm trying to stall. I'm this close to doing a tap dance, guys. There he is. Yeah, there, Dave.
I've been listening. I've been able to hear you the whole time. I don't know what happened.
Okay, all right. So, again, that happens. Apparently, they could probably hear you. So, what's kind of like your last best advice that you give for somebody, maybe just in general, I think, for this whole situation on the reopening, I think would be the best thing to talk about, you know, something that maybe you had to hurdle, you had to overcome. But what do you got?
I think really what you need to do is, you know, yeah, look at yourself and figure out what you're comfortable with at this point. I know a lot of us as entrepreneurs and business owners, we like to get out of our comfort zone and go and experiment and do things. Right now, for the sake of your employees and customers, I don't think it's necessarily the time to really go out and take a huge risk differently. You can do some things here and there on the side, but our customers, our employees are, you know, they've grown to love us and to know what we're about, and they expect certain things from us. We need to maintain those items and make sure we're perfecting those. You know, it's, as restaurant people, we are some of the cleanest people in the, you know, the United States. We're hammered by our local health departments and all of our class and everything else we take about how to sanitize and how to take care of our food and everything else. And I think that we can promote that to our customers, make sure that they realize that we are, you know, that it's what we do for a living is to serve safe product. And need to make sure they know that, and just, you know, get out there, listen to your customers, listen to your employees, make sure that you're on the same page with them, and that if you need to, you know, pivot and go a different direction, that you're ready to do that.
some good advice. I mean, we, like you said, this is, it's already part of our mandate to actually be clean, to make sure that they feel comfortable eating where we're at. So have you kind of noticed the shift of people, instead of coming in looking for, like, judging on where they're going to eat by quality and service, they're looking at, are they clean now? I mean, there's obviously going to shift the focus.
Well, I've always thought that, you know, that's the first thing the customer sees before your food is how clean your restaurant is. You know, they're going to walk in, and if your counter's not clean, if your floor's not clean, if that the door handle they first touch isn't clean, they're, you know, that's going to be their first impression. A lot of the customers at least should, especially now today, they should be going to your restrooms and washing their hands before they start to eat. You know, your restroom should be one of the cleanest parts of your entire establishment. Everyone thinks that a restroom is a dirty spot, and it needs to be maintained constantly as one of the cleanest places now and always in your restaurant. Your tables, you know, you need to make sure that everyone's taking time to check underneath them, you know, and everything is always clean at all times. I think this is a great time that we have with our staff to enforce and remind them how we're built on our safety and our cleanliness of our establishments, that we always have been and that they need to continue to.
It's that reinforcement. It's like we never should have forgot, but now it's, the focus is right back on that. So I had to show this, and it's going to happen, and you can't stop it. But
hey, you know, that just proves I was young once and could spend some dough.
Well, that was at the outside the prosciutto factory in Parma that one year. That was
my first trip to Italy. That was probably day three of being in Italy, and that was one of the highlights of my trips over there.
Yeah, you and Bradley Johnson, I think Wilhelm was out there. That was a beautiful vista. Patrick Maggi was with us, so I never saw that picture. That was just that's too much. But
that was one that my wife got for me. It took us several times to center that dough just properly to give that halo effect.
I was going to say it looked like a halo. So, all right, Dave, you know, you have a lot of great information here. You have a unique perspective and a unique situation being on a campus. If people want to reach out to you or get some more advice or, you know, have some questions answered, what's the best way they can reach you or Mad Mushroom?
Mad Mushroom website is madmushroom.com. I am always available via email, davidsummers@madmushroom.com. If you want to go through a location, Purdue@madmushroom.com email also gets directly to me. Any further question anybody has, they can hit me up through Facebook, Instagram, anywhere you can find me. I'm happy to communicate and share ideas and thoughts, and hopefully I can help you. And you know, I'm sure that there's something out there that each one of you can teach me.
That's the kind of the spirit of the U.S. Beats team right there, is that, you know, you teach what you can and you learn as much as you can from your fellow members. So, and I definitely want to kind of swing back and talk to you again, maybe when Kentucky gets open, and, you know, you can give a perspective on some of that, some of the difference in the regulations between the states, because that's going to be crazy. I know we don't have a lot of members on our team that have numerous locations, but there are a lot of people out there who watch PMQ or are friends with me that might have that, and they might learn something they didn't know or be able to chime in and help us with some more information. So I want to thank everybody again for viewing. Dave, you had a pretty big draw here. I was seeing a lot of U.S. Beats team members saying hello. So I just want to say thank you again for your time and for the information. There's one last message for the pizza world, just one last reaffirmation of confidence and hope. What would you say?
You know, you're not in this together, not in this alone. We're all in this together. Reach out to anybody out here in the pizza world. Reach out to your other local restaurateurs. You know, we started a local group here with a lot of the guys and gals that own the establishment. We started about a year ago to help fight a local law that was going to hurt all of us. And when the pandemic came around, it really turned into a great way for all of us to encourage and complain to each other, you know, to get our feelings out with other people who have like ideas. So, you know that you're not in this alone. We are all in it together. Everybody's here to help out in any way we can. And, you know, use those people that are there for you. Don't hold it all inside.
It's great advice, man. I appreciate it. Again, I want to thank everybody who tuned in. You can reach Dave at the aforementioned locations, emails, and websites. If you have any other questions, he's always there, ready to help anybody. And like you said, we're not in this alone. We're all in this together. So we got to rely on each other right now more than ever. So, Dave, thank you so much for your time. Everybody who tuned in. I think tomorrow I'm going to be talking with Tori Trupiano of Mangia Bebe and Dominic's Italian restaurant in Oceanside, California. We're going to talk about he kind of took over some of the places like schools and things like that. They lost their lunch programs, kind of filling in for that. Just, you know, customer relations and things like that. Just a California perspective on the same situation. So we'll hopefully see you guys tomorrow at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Dave, thank you very much again. Tell Rick Wheeler I said hello as well. Get another US Pizza team member and general manager over there.
I will do so.
So, all right. Stay safe. So, yeah, stay safe and stay sane, everybody. We'll see you guys tomorrow.